The topic title, Harvest Journeys in Life, is really a title which encompasses not only Parashas Lech Lecha, but also next week's Parasha as well. From the Lech Lecha at the beginning of this week's Parasha to the Lech Lecha al Eretz HaMoriah at the end of next week's Parasha, we really encompass the journey that Avram traveled during the Nisyonos that he had. And since, as we know, and especially is written in this week's Sedra by the Ramban, the principle of Maisa Ovos Siman Nevonim, there obviously are applications of the journeys which Avram took to the journeys that we take through life. Perhaps the first thing to mention about the Tzivui that starts the Sedra. Avraham Avinu is told to leave his birthplace, to leave his country, and when you think about it, it shouldn't have been a nisayon. Avraham Avinu was Avraham Ha'ivri. The whole world was different to him. He was the one that stood up and proclaimed Shem Hashem. He was the one that brought monotheism into the world, and everybody else was Noved Avodah Zarah. How difficult should it have been for him to hear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to take you away from this and take you to a place where you'll be able to be what you really should be. It shouldn't have been a nisayon. And admittedly, when the Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give Avram brachos and veheyeh bracha v'agad lo shumecha, admittedly, that shouldn't have been the motivation. It should have been done lishma. But even doing it lishmo, the fact that Ben Sholeish Yikir as Bayro, and Avraham Avinu's whole life until this moment in time, the last 72 years, Avraham has spent opposed to the ideologies, to the philosophies of all the people around him, when he's told Lech Lecha, it shouldn't have been a nisayon. Yet it is. And the reason is because we are mushpa by the Saviva in which we live. The Rambam in Perek Vav Mehilchos Deos starts by saying that is derech briyosei shel adam liyos nimshach b'deyosov v'maysov achareyov v'chaverov. Derech briyosei shel adam. It is the natural way of a person to be pulled in the direction of their surroundings, their environment. It's not always a negative. The fact that we are brought up in a country where the buses are double-deckers and are painted red and the taxis are black, not a negative necessarily, but it's a cultural aspect of the environment in which we are brought up. It's inherently part of us. And therefore, even when the direction that a person takes is really opposed to the central ideology of the country in which they live, nevertheless, they are mushpa from the country. Nevertheless, the country in which they are brought up has an effect on them. And therefore, even for Avraham Avinu, when he's told to leave a country that is Mali Avodah Zarah, when he's told, when he originally starts out on the journey in Parashas Noach, to leave a country where they try to kill him, even so, the nisayon is there because leaving that which with which I am familiar, leaving that with which I have been brought up, it has erosion, it has an effect on me. It is part of who I am. It defines me. And therefore, it is a nisayon to leave it. And therefore, the Kal Vachomer, Ben Bnei Shel Kal Vachomer, we have to be aware of the fact that where we are, the place in which we are brought up, the place in which we live, has an effect on us. So I say, not necessarily all of it is negative, but it's ever present. It's perhaps something to be seen from this original journey of Avraham Avinu's. Avraham travels and this original journey takes him to Eretz Yisrael, down to Mitzrayim, whether he should or should not have gone to Mitzrayim, and he stops in Mitzrayim, the end of that first journey. Second journey takes him out of Mitzrayim. But this time there's a difference. This time, for the first time, Lot is independent, or at least feels himself to be independent. And the Torah describes it as the gam leLot haHolech es Avram hayotzein uvakov v'oholim. Lot, for the first time ever, he's made it big. Doesn't need Avram Avinu anymore. And from then on, there starts a discord, an argument, a machlokes breaks out originally between the Re'e Lot and the Re'e Avram, and it spreads. And Avram Avinu gives Lot the option. He says to him, "He parid no me olai, you go to the right, I'll go to the left, you go to the left, I'll go to the right, you choose." And Lot splits from Avram Avinu. And one can imagine how this would have been reported in some of the other types of Jewish newspapers of the time. Here's Avram Avinu, who spares no effort at bringing in Arab Ovdei Avodah Zarah into his house. But when it comes to his own flesh and blood, that's when you see the true colours of Avraham Avinu. He's a religious hypocrite. Here he is telling the world about Shem Hashem. When it comes to a little bit of charity to his own family, you know, he's not prepared to take the time out to put in the effort. That's, you know, if you really want to know what he's like, just see how he treats his own members of his own family. So, one saw Diane Swift of Psalm writes, very interestingly, the verb that Avraham Avinu uses when he separates from Lot is not the normal verb that we would use for separation, which is Havdalah, Hibodel no. Avraham says Hipored no. What's the difference between Prezer and Havdalah? It's temporary. Avraham wasn't closing the door on Lot. Avraham said, "Listen, as things stand at the moment, I am in danger spiritually from your presence because you have no intention of changing. But it's not a permanent affair. It's something which at the moment, you've now become independent, you can't see things any other way anymore, and therefore you constitute a sakana. And I can't handle it. I can't deal with it because you're not prepared to listen. So therefore, we have to take a break. But you should know that the door is always open. Horaya, this same Avraham who's being described, quote unquote, as a religious hypocrite, what does he do for Lot? He endangers himself and Eliezer, 318 people, his whole machane, to go down and save Lot, who's been captured. Why? Because he's living in Sodom. I mean, it's Lot's fault. What's he living in Sodom for? What do you expect to happen when you live in Sodom? Yet, Avraham Avinu puts all those considerations aside and goes and rescues Lot. So we see he is far from being the uncaring member of family. Okay, he's very caring, and because of that he cares about Ruchnius and he cares about Lot's welfare. But if Lot isn't prepared to listen, you have to let Lot separate temporarily. But perhaps one of the aspects to pick up from the journey is what happens to Lot. We look at Sefer Bereishis and we see the Tzadikim and the Rishoyim. And as we said, Maisa Ovasim and Labonim. The whole of Sefer Bereishis teaches us that the Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah is a way to live life, because hearing it in theory, hearing the mitzvahs alone, without seeing that they can actually be carried out, leaves the impression that it's a great idea, but I don't know if it's actually real. But once you see it actually being carried out, then you know that Torah can actually be practiced. Which is why the Torah in Parshas Chayesaurus spent 67 psukim telling us about how Eliezer went about getting a wife for Yitzchok. Because you see Avraham Avinu in Eliezer. You see, it can actually be carried out. It's not just theory. So normally we look at Sefer Bereishis and we see the heroes and the villains. We see the tzaddikim, we see the rishonim. What we gloss over perhaps are the beinonim, the people who are most like us, the people who have good days and bad days. And Lot is an example of that. Initially, beginning of the Sedra, Lot accompanies Avraham Avinu. He also doesn't know where he's going. He's also going on a journey to the unknown, and he hasn't been spoken to by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he's trusting Avraham Avinu. And when they're in Mitzrayim, he doesn't tell anybody who Sarah is. As we know, that's a schus that will eventually allow him to be saved from Sodom. So he's on the side of the angels initially. And then he has a Messiah. He has a Messiah of Ahasuerus, and he fails. It's good days and he had bad days. But before we write him off, or at least before we write him off permanently, we have to carry on going. Carry on into next week's Sedra. Carry on far later, down the line into Nach, see how from Lot arose Rus, David HaMelech. It's all from Lot. I mean, it's from the Maisim of Rus as well, quite obviously. But the fact that he brought about Rus means that you can't give up on people too easily. Because the story line of Lot doesn't finish in Perek Yud Gimel in Parshas Lech Lecha. It's got a long way to run. And there are many parallels to this in Tanakh. Perhaps briefly, one is Gehazi. Gehazi, who originally is the Masharis of Elisha, and initially, once again, on the side of the angels. Then he also has the Nesoyan of Ahasuerus. Perhaps previously he also has the Nesoyan on the way to reviving the child, didn't listen to the instructions of Elisha quite as they should have been. But the essential Nesoyan was, he also failed when it came to being offered rewards by Naaman. Elisha rejected it, he felt it would be a chilul Hashem, but Gehazi went for it. So he's cursed. Yet, at the end, the Haftarah for Parshas Metzorah tells us that there were Arba Anoshim who were Metzoroim, they were outside of the city, and they saw all the spoils of war that had been left there, and they said, why shouldn't we share this good fortune with Klal Yisrael, who are currently besieged? And eventually they do something which turns things about for them. We can't say that the final chapter has been written until we're at the final chapter. And these Beinonim really are the story of many of our lives. We have better times and we have worse times. That's something to be learnt from this journey as well. Beyond that, there's an interesting pasuk here. Torah tells us that after being given the choice by Avraham Avinu as to which way to turn, Vayivchar lo Lot es kol kikar hayarden, he chooses the Yarden, the area near Sodom and Amora. But the pasuk before that tells us why he chose the Yarden. Vayisa Lot es Enov, Vayar es kol kikar hayarden ki kulav mashke. He saw that it was tremendously fertile. It's a great place to live. So he went there. The Torah then adds something which seems to be totally out of place. We've been told, why did Lot choose that area? Ki kula mashke. It was fertile. Then the Torah adds, Lifnei shachis Hashem es Sodom es Amora, kegam Hashem geret Mitzrayim be'achat soyar. It was before Hashem destroyed Sodom and Amora. Who are we writing this pasuk for? This is an editor's note. You know, in case you remember from Cheder, hang on, how can the Kikar Yarden be Kula Mashke? I remember somebody told me a story that I couldn't sure overturned Sodom and Amora. So how could it be Kula Mashke? No, you got it wrong, that's next week, Cedra. Since when does the Torah need to tell you the, and I know Ein Mukta Meluch about Torah, but first of all, within one parashah is, and secondly, what you know is the basic storylines, you'll find out next week. Since when is the Torah written for Amei Haaretz who, you know, can't keep the thread together? Don't know what Lot did first and what he did second. When Sodom was overturned. So Vayisa Lot es Enov, fine. Vayaris Kol Kikar Hayarden Ki Kula Mashke.
Kigal Hashem, Keres Mitzrayim, by Alpha Tzaya, what's good? Nei Shachet Hashem.
So, I saw in the Sefer, Kol Doidi, he writes, that when Lot looked at the Kikeh HaYarden, at the end of the day, Lot had been brought up in Avraham Avinu's household. And when he looks at Sodom and Amorah, he knows there's a day of reckoning on its way. It'll be tomorrow, it'll be next week, it'll be next year, but there's no way that Sodom and Amorah are just going to continue. There's no way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just going to be mevatar and allow Sodom and Amorah to carry on ad infinitum, living the way they are. It's an impossibility. Which means that Lot looks at the Kikeh HaYarden, and when he looks and says to himself, I'm seeing it kula mashka, and I'm seeing it lifnei shachet Hashem Sodom and Amorah. I'm seeing it before it's destroyed, but it will be destroyed. He knew that one day it's going to have its comeuppance. It's only a question of time. It was all what he saw, Elamai. Elamai, he's still under the influence of wealth. And therefore he says, I'll make a quick buck. I'll go down there, short while, make it rich quick, and get out of there. And, you know, Avraham Avinu, he's set in his old ways, so he's going to do things his way, and, you know, fuck it. I haven't got patience. The younger generation, we want to, you know, do things now. It's the computer technology 4,000 years ago. And therefore, and Luke says, I'll go down, and don't worry, before anything happens to me, I'll get out of there. Lifnei shachet Hashem. I'll see the warning signs, I'll get out. The maskana, what happens? Lot leaves Sodom, never mind that he ruchnis, leaves that he gashmis either. He spends the whole night, the shalshelesh on Vayis Maimor, spends the whole night sort of running up and down, figuring out what am I going to pack, what am I not going to pack, and in the end, the malachim schlep him out without anything. So what does he get from going to Sodom? Ruchnis for sure not. Doesn't get any gashmis either. That's the mid chapter in Lot's life. The journey that Lot took, the bends and twists of Lot's life. Lifnei shachet Hashem. And this is the look of somebody who knows the emes. That there's a difference between yedia and actually putting it into practice. That's the difference in Lot's life between what he knows and what he actually does. Now, interestingly enough, the Sedra starts out by telling us how old Avraham Avinu was. He was, Torah tells us in Pasuk, I think it is, that Avraham, Pasuk Dalet, Avraham ben Chomesh Shalim v'Shivim Shalom v'Teisa Mecharim, 75 years old. When we come to other events in Avraham's life, the Bris Ben Absarim, so my focus is showing him when it happened. Did it happen before Parshas Lech Lecha, when he was 70? Did it happen when he was 99? We don't even know when it happened, never mind how old Avraham Avinu was. But for some reason, the Torah feels it important to tell us that Avraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. Who cares? Who cares? So, it's a well-known principle of many of the Bali Machshava, specifically the Maral, that I know it's early morning, but we don't go too far down this line because I don't know too much about these things anyway. But there's a well-known principle, and that is that we're talking sort of numbers, that six always defines that which is physical, because everything in this world is six-sided. We live in a three-dimensional world. Every object has to be six-sided. However thin some of the sides are, it's got to be six-sided. That's the physical world. Seven is the idea of the Kedusha that exists in the world that we can tap into. Shabbos, Sheshes Yumei HaMaisa were culminated by Shabbos. It's clear, Vakayma, it's there since the beginning of time. The concept of there being the ability to tap into Kedusha is there since the beginning of time. That's seven. And eight is that which is L'mayla Min HaTeva, that which we can't do on our own. That which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us to. The level beyond this world. It's also a level of Kedusha. It is a level we can't achieve on our own. So if 7 is Kedusha, so to speak, we can achieve on our own, and 8 is that which is elevated beyond the world, what's 7.5? 7.5, says the Maharal, is the bridge, is the walk where you're journeying from being an individual that's working on your own steam to being the individual that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen. 7, 7.5, or 75, Maharal often explains that giving an extra naught is expanding the concept, but it's the same idea. Avraham Avinu changes along this journey from being Avi Avram, to being Av Hamoim Goyim. He travels a journey from being an individual who's mashpia on his community to being Av Hamoim Goyim, so that somebody who goes through Geirus can say Alekei Avram, he becomes literally the father of the world. He becomes somebody that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Tzei Achutza. He goes out of where the normal Gedorim would stop him expanding, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there's no limit. That happens during this journey. The reason the Torah points out how old he is because it's very relevant to who he is, to the journey that he's about to take. The Maharal adds, that's why the gematria of the word Kohen is also 75. Because, as we know, the Gemara debates, are they Shluchei Didon, Shluchei Derachmona? But that's the function of the Kohen as well. A Kohen is also a bridge. And we bring Karbonos. We are brought closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the function of the Kohen. It's a bridge that is crossed through their input. Avraham Avinu himself was crossing a bridge. The bridge between being an individual and being somebody who HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen as Av Hamoim Goyim. At the same time, Avraham Avinu is aware that he still has responsibilities. In the description of the people who accompanied him into the war against the four kings, or at least guarded the possessions, so Onner, Eshkol, and Mamre are described as the Bali Bris Avram. Bali Bris Avram. It's a very interesting medrash, it's the end of Perik Mem Beis in the British Rabbah, that discusses a conversation that Avraham Avinu has, end of this week's Sedra, and really takes us into next week's Sedra. Avraham Avinu is given the tzibui at the end of the Sedra of Bris Mila. So, what does he do? He asks Onner, Eshkol, and Mamre what he should do. Onner says, listen, if you carry out Bris Mila, your enemies are going to find out about it, and they're going to take advantage of the fact that you're out of action. I wouldn't do it. Eshkol says, listen, if you want to do it, I would do it at night. That way no one finds out about it. I would not do it, but to do it in public, I don't think it's a clever idea. And Mamre says to him, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to do it, then carry it out. And Avraham took his advice. And therefore, it says, second last pasuk, Be'etzem hayem hazeh, middle of the day, Avraham Avinu carried out Bris Mila. And therefore, the beginning of next week, Sedra, is Vayera Elav Hashem Be'leinim Mamre. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu appear Be'leinim Mamre? Because who nasan eitzah lamila? He is the one who told Avraham Avinu to carry out Bris Mila. I'm not quite sure, A, what Mamre did that is so deserving of reward, and B, rather than seeing Mamre's actions as so meritorious, you should see Onner and Eshkol as being rather less so. Avraham Avinu is given a tzivui by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to carry out Bris Mila. And what does he do? He goes and asks his Balei Bris what he should do. Hayitachen. Avraham Avinu, who's carried out all the nisyonos until that moment in time, is not sure what to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to do something, he's not sure what to do. So what does he do? He doesn't go and ask Sarah. He's not Miyayet, Shem, Va'eva. He goes and asks Omer, Eshkol, and Mamre what he should do. And two of them give him what would appear to be their own advice, and in the end he doesn't side with the majority anyway. He ignores them and does what Mamre tells him to do, so obviously that's what he was going to do all along. Why is Mamre being rewarded? Why are they not being punished? And why is Avraham asking the question in the first place? See, as Mamre explains, quite simply, Avraham, it's true, had been given a tzivui by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there was no question in his mind he had to carry out this tzivui. No question. Not Eile al Hadas to believe that Avraham Avinu had second thoughts about whether to carry out Bris Mila. Especially the concept being, Yishalech lefanei ve'yisamim, this bringing to Shleimus. If he had any second thoughts about it, impossible. But he has an achrayus. Vehem bali bris. These are the allies of Avraham. The person has a mitzvah to carry out. Right. So they have to carry out the mitzvah. But it can't be at somebody else's expense. So Maisa with Rabbi Kamenetsky in the middle of the war. So he was connected to the Vada Tzala. And he was living in New York. And he had to see a government official in Washington. And in order to get there, he'd have to get up early in the morning. So in those days, where he was living, I'm not sure they'd ever changed until he moved to Monsey, the walls of the apartment were basically paper thin. And his neighbor came home very late. And he felt that if he's going to set alarms and start getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, he's going to wake up his neighbor. So he said, I can't do that. He's got a chiyuv to go to Washington. So he said, fine, so I won't sleep. Because I've got a mitzvah to do, it doesn't mean that everybody around me has to suffer. I have to do my chiyuv, but I have to take into account what my chiyuv is with the ben odom l'chaveiro part of my chiyuv as well. And therefore, Avraham Avinu has to carry out Bris Mila. But he can't put their lives at risk. So what he does is he consults with them. He says, how would you feel if I carry out Bris Mila? To which Omer says, forget it. I can't handle that. Because then I'm under threat. You're out of action. Never mind, they'll kill you. They'll kill me as well. They're in Bali, Bris Avram. We're part and parcel of the same, we're on the same side. We're on the same team. And Eshkol, he's not as worried. He says, listen, carry it out. I'm sure if we keep things quiet, by the time they get the news, it'll all be over, you'll be back on your feet again. Baruch Hashem, it'll be fine. Mamre says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to carry out Bris Mila, I am prepared to stick with you through thick and thin. I'm not worried about the fallout. So what did Avraham do? When it came to Omer and Eshkol, Avraham publicly rescinded his bris with them. He said, we are no longer confederates. He did it for their sake. Because he said, I'm going to carry out Bris Mila be'etzem hayom hazeh, but I've got to know how it impacts on you. So the other two, they weren't doing anything wrong. What they were doing is saying, we're scared, Pasha. It's the Kuach Nefesh. And to a large degree, it was. If you're a Baal Emunah like Avraham Avinu, fine, but otherwise, it's the Kuach Nefesh. So they said, thanks but no thanks. Mamre said, I have emunah, the control who gave you a tzivui, that I won't be harmed by it. That's something to receive a sahar for. And therefore, the Torah puts it in those terms. And the Torah says that v'yera elav Hashem b'elayni Mamre, because that he deserved the reward for it. And this is therefore also part of taking the journey. Part of traveling is that the people around us are affected by what happens to us, and we have to take that into account. It's not good enough just thinking that, you know, I have a mitzvah to do, and the world stops. The world doesn't stop. The world has to be taken into consideration. The journeys, therefore, which we have described, said it's made of a similar bonim, perhaps particularly apt that we now involve Cheshvan, going to Zion Cheshvan, because tonight in Eretz Yisrael they start saying the same Talmud Mosa Livracha. Why? Because by now everyone has journeyed out of Eretz Yisrael. This is the end of their journey, so to speak, the opposite direction of the beginning of Parashat Lech, quite admittedly. but nevertheless it's a time where the journey is starting for many people into Chutz La'aretz. Here it was a journey that Avraham Avinu would start, which would affect all of us on an ongoing basis, because what the Avos did not only created a schus, but implanted in each of us a spiritual gene in Kohen Avos and Shleisha, because what they did, they actually affected us. So the journeys that they have taken are something that not only speak to us about the past, but also speak to us about the present.
Gadal, Gadal, Shmei, Rabu.